Hi guys, welcome back to my podcast. It's your girl Laide, and I'm here with a very, very special guest. I'm here with one of my really good friends from secondary school actually. Her name is Nuseiba. Most people know her as Queen Layla or Chocomilo. She loves pineapples, and there's just so much more about her. I really adore her. I feel like if you know me, you know that I always say that I stan Nuseiba. And I'm really glad that she's here today. And so, you know, if you don't mind, could you introduce yourself to the audience?
Okay. hi, everyone. I'm not an interesting person, really. I don't even know how to introduce myself. I guess I'm Nuseiba. That should do. Okay, so... on a serious note, I'm Nuseiba. I am a physiology and psychology student, and I am passionate about many things, and I'm committed to living a life of excellence and leaving a dent in the universe. Was that good?
That's great. That's very, very impactful. Okay. That's really nice. Okay, so I know that you do a lot of things. I feel like the word multi-potentialite, I heard it first from Nuseiba. And then I ended up taking it and being like, huh, how am I going to add this to stuff? And then I added it to my LinkedIn description. Yeah. And so it was okay. And then I also did some reading actually, because I think that word was mentioned in a TED talk or something. And then I was that makes sense. It's not a popular word, but people still do identify as multi-potentialites and everything like that. I'm like, that's really cool. So if you guys are wondering what I'm going to talk to Nuseiba about, I think is probably the beginning of a series, because I'm thinking about this for a while now. And it's a how do I know that I'm doing the right thing, or what am I doing type thing. Okay. Because I know that for many of us, the first amount of, or the first type of career advice we ever got was aspire to best fire before you retire type stuff. And it was from somebody that was, you know, so many decades, so far removed from our generation. And yeah, it can feel very weird when you have to ask people who are in a totally different, mindset or even time zone about, career advice. And I think it's really cool when we get to hear from people who are in the same peer group as us, or, you know, people who we're friends with. It's usually a lot. It makes, I think a bigger impact on us when it's okay, this person has done it, and this person is my age, and this person has more or less the same advantages and disadvantages that I have. So therefore, I can do it, that kind of stuff. And then that means more people can do it. You mentioned that you are a physiology and a psychology student, right?
Yeah.
Can you go into how, beyond, after that whole GS3 inspire to perspire, how did you filter, senior secondary school into knowing that this is what you wanted to do?
Okay, so I have to be honest. I really did not know this was what I was going to be doing. If you asked me when I was in senior school, I would probably have said I wanted to be a doctor, a medical doctor. And then I would have told you that I wanted to be a psychiatrist, because that was what I wanted at that point.
Yeah.
But then life happens. All through secondary school, I like to believe I was a smart student. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then post secondary school, writing WAEC, my results were not like I wanted them to be. They were good, they were okay, but they were not what I was expecting. I was expecting to have all A's, but I did not get that. It was very, very disappointing. And then my first attempt at wanting to get admission into university, I was not even considered at all, because that was the year they started JAM. Yeah. I think that was the year they scrapped Pursue TME. So they said they were going to use our WAEC results and some other factors. I can't really remember. And I applied to UI, and then I didn't even qualify at all. They just put not considered for admission. Oh my God, when I saw that, I literally broke down, because I was like, are you kidding me? That was my first major failure.
Wow.
To be academics. Yeah, it was really terrible. But then I was not able to dwell a lot in that space because my mom was like, okay, you're going to do A levels. So I went to the north. I went to Katsina. Like that was the mm-hmm. school for basic and remedial studies for ABU, Ahmad Bello University.
Yeah.
I then go on to spend 2 years of my life there. And because it was like a school, like it was not secondary school and it was not university, it was in between. I really did not feel that impact of, oh, you're not in uni. Because when my friends are talking about school, I also had something to talk about, you get. And even up to that point, I still wanted to be a doctor. And then I would not say that I was not a serious student because I know I tried, but I didn't try mm-hmm. my best. But I know that I think things just happen to us. Certain things happen to us in life so that we can learn from it and then to shape us for future experiences or future things that will happen to us, basically.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. after my A-levels result came out, it was also not what I expected. I was really disappointed myself. And I was like, okay, you can't get into medicine with this score because medicine is very, very competitive with A-levels.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you can't get into medicine. What other alternative can you go for? Then I said, I think I was saying pharmacy, but my mind was not really at pharmacy because I really did not enjoy organic chemistry at the advanced level. So I was like, I'm not enjoying this. How am I going to go through pharmacy of 5 years, I think? So the thing is, after that happened, I feel this is the first time I'm actually sharing this story in public. Like, even people that are close to me don't know all the full details, except the people that, oh, let's say we're just meeting and then this is something we're connecting over. So
oh,
after
wow.
While I was in A levels, I wrote JAMB I think twice. The first time they gave me, what did they give me? I can't remember, but I remember the second time they gave me physical health education.
Wow. Really?
Yes, honest. I remember I told my big mom about it. I didn't tell her the course. I was just like, oh, they gave me admission. So she was already happy. She was dancing. And then I was like, oh, it's physical health education. I'm actually picturing how that went. So she was like, you're not even serious that. And then she was like, oh, it's not a bad course. You know that kind of consolation that adults try to give you that, oh, you can
still do something. Exactly.
And I'm like, no, because for me, I feel if I do something I don't want to do, I'm just setting myself up for failure for the rest of my life. As if that was the mindset I had. After I finished my A-levels, I didn't even bother applying to ABU because ABU was competitive. And then I felt, okay, you need to have connections and you need to be an indigene of that environment. Like they give more opportunities to people who are northerners compared to those that are not. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good way to also promote the education sector in their
area,
in their environment. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I decided, okay, what school will you apply to? Okay, let's apply to Unilorin. And then Unilorin was like, I'd never thought of it as a school I would go to before then. But then I said, okay, let's give this a try. So first attempt, I applied. Okay, my mom was like, oh, okay, apply for pharmacy. I said, okay, fine, let's just apply for the pharmacy, let's see how it will go.
Mm-hmm.
Then this was now the time that they converted, that it was JAMB that was giving admission. And then JAMB gave me agricultural science. And
oh,
I was like, what is this? Like, I'm saying this now and I'm laughing, but imagine at that point where you've always, like, I'd always been a winner, I'd always been a top student.
Yeah.
And then I'm just receiving this sort of setbacks, like, one after the other. It was really, really destabilizing, to be honest. So they said, okay, I agree. And then my mom was like, you have to go. That you can, like, it's better for you to be in the school environment and see how things work before you would, she wants to, like, okay, just be in the school environment, see how things work, mm-hmm. and then you can apply again the next year instead of just staying at home for 1 year. And the funny thing is, during that time, 2018 was the year where I had a lot of self-awareness and being into my passion and the things I enjoyed doing. But then it was also the year where my mental health was not in a very good place because I was dealing with these rejections and setbacks. So looking back now, I really wondered how I coped. I really wondered how I coped, to be honest, because I think I was just high functioning, let's just put it that way. Because that's what I'll say. So I was doing amazing things on the side, and like people didn't even like it didn't really click to people that, oh, she's not in school. They were thinking, oh, she just came back from A levels, so she has time. And then what I was always telling them was, oh, I just finished my I just finished my exams in March. The results didn't come out until like June, July. So like from March till September, I had a lot of free time. So December even. So I was volunteering. I volunteered for Mani. I volunteered for She Writes Woman. I was doing my own things online. So I was thriving on one end, but then at the other end, I was in a terrible place. So I went to school. I tried so hard to like accept the fact that, okay, you were doing Agric, but I never did. They were even trying to see if they could work something out. You know, the way the Nigerian system is, if I could get something else.
Yeah.
And during this time, someone actually said, okay, we would give her this course, pharmacy, that I should not worry about it. So I was relieved. And then I started attending pharmacy classes. Yeah. That was January 2019. So I was there for a month. I had fit in perfectly. I had made new friends. I was already feeling like, okay, you are here now. And then everything just scattered again, because they were like, oh, they've stopped the movement list. They can't move you anymore. Like, they can't move you from Agric to pharmacy. Like, what was on my portal was still a Greek, yes, but I was attending pharmacy classes with the hope that, oh, they would move me. But then they,
like, officially online. Officially, like, they would move you officially, like, online, so your portal would reflect.
Yeah, exactly. But that did not happen. So now I now had to like go and register as an Agric student, so I would not get kicked out of school, because you would not belong anywhere. You just be in school without being a student. Do you get
exactly?
So that was really, really terrible. I think I broke down at that point. I was like, oh my god, why is this happening to me? Like, I was trying to reconcile who I thought I was as this really smart girl who was always doing well in school to being in this point, to being at that point where I was even struggling with university admission. So after I registered, I never went to class. I told my mom this one time and I was laughing. I was just shaking my head that I just wasted her money. But I was like, I can't do this course. Like, this is not what I want. This is not what I want. I remember I even spoke to someone. I think, like, Agric is also related to health. You can, when people have good food, they will have good health.
Yeah, they're trying to create a backdoor.
Like, this is not what I want. So I struggled a lot. I think it was during this period that I watched a lot of movies, like as a coping mechanism. I was watching a lot of movies. I watched a lot of K-dramas. Like, there's this website where you like log all the K-dramas you've watched. And when I saw how many I had watched, I was like, damn, save
my goodness.
This is a lot. It was over 100. And I was like, okay, more than half of this. It was during that time of your life when you were struggling. So it was a way for me to cope. And then I was eating. Like, I would cook 3 times a day and eat. I would watch movies. That was even, I think that was even when I started Grey's Anatomy. So I had a lot of time on my hands. And I dealt with it the way I could, really. It was not the best way, but it got me through it. And for that, I'm sort of grateful. So after that, okay, and another thing is, looking back now, I see me getting Agric and me being where I was actually had a purpose, because I had a roommate that was studying physiology. And then because I'd always been passionate about health. I still am. So we'll just have conversations. We'll talk about, oh, childbirth. We'll talk about pregnancy. We'll talk about all this fun science stuff, health stuff. And then I was like, oh, so tell me about this, your physiology. Like, before then, I really did not consider physiology or anatomy or all those other courses that, like, serious courses. That was like, it was medicine or nothing, you get. So she would tell me about it, and I was like, okay, this is actually what they do in medicine, just without the clinical part, or up to like, I think 300 level or 400 level, but this is like a good foundation. And I started rationalizing to my head that, okay, if I do this, it can serve as pre-med for me before I go to medical school, whether in the country or out of the country. So like that acceptance that, okay, this is a good option for me, it sort of made things easier. And when I was applying the second time, that was what I picked. And fortunately, I got it. So I was very, very happy.
Finally, you're
getting somewhere. And you know, the funny thing is, my life was still moving, even with everything that was going on. So while I was still in school, when I was still doing Agric, I was still going for events, going for hangouts, meeting new people. So except for a select few people, people did not know what was going on internally. Like, I think I trusted like 3-4 people that used to like check up on me occasionally. Okay, how are you doing? Are you okay? Like, they knew the trauma and everything I was dealing with. So they were always checking up on me. And for that, I am like really grateful to them. Wow. And they sort of made things a little easier, because it was easy to talk and like just lament and say, okay, why is this happening to me? Like, there were that safe space that I needed during that time.
Yeah.
I feel like this story is going on too long. Let's move to the good part. So after I got physiology, before physiology in 2018, we're going to talk about the psychology part. So yeah. I've been volunteering for Mania, I've been volunteering for Shiraituman. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I need to get more knowledge about psychology. I need to get more knowledge about mental health. So I went to Alice. It's an online learning platform. I got a diploma in psychology. I got a diploma in mental health studies. But then it did not feel enough. I think it was during this time that I founded Mind Conditions. I was like, So you can see now, like, even while like I was having the crisis of academia and everything, I was still doing stuff. So from my volunteering experience with Mani and Shiraituman, I realized that, okay, a lot of Muslims actually have this problem too. Like, they have mental health challenges. They have difficulty accessing mental health education. So I was like, okay, let me create an organization that would deal with this. So Mind Conditions started in 2018. We got a couple of volunteers. We did some events. We did some online advocacy and things like that. So Mind Conditions sort of helped me, because I went to talk to people about their mental health and then like educate them. I was also educating myself, and I felt my knowledge was not enough. I think now, like, it's a good thing to always want to seek knowledge, but for me, it's a problem in the sense that I use it as an excuse not to take action, because I'm like, okay, I need to get enough knowledge about this thing.
To be fully prepared.
Yeah, exactly. So for my conditions, I was still not like 100% secured in what I was doing, because I felt, oh, I'm too young, and this, like, we'll still get to that. Like, me feeling I'm too young, and then that being a little for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So that was why I signed up for IOU, the Islamic Online University. I was like, okay, this is something really fascinating. And then because it was Muslim focused, I was like, okay, this is something I really want to do. I saw the application a day before it ended. And then I was like, okay, Nseba, you need to do this. So I did all I was supposed to do, answered the forms, whatever. So I did everything, and then I sent it in, and then I was praying so hard. I was like, okay, I really want this. And alhamdulillah, I got in. And it was a relief that, oh, like, I still have it. Like, I'm not a totally not my person.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, you're still going.
Like, oh, okay. I got into this online investing. And the experience so far has been really good. Like, I've learned a lot that I believe I would not have learned having a normal psychology degree, because it really has this Islamic perspective to things. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful with the work I do with mind conditions. So that's how the psychology, Islamic psychology, is going. And then another fun fact is people only know that, oh, you're getting a psychology degree and things. But while I was struggling with getting into actual university, it sort of affected my work in IOU. Do you get? So my first semester was a total mess. So I had to like redo the entire semester again.
Wow. I'm not,
like, that was how bad the whole thing affected me, but I really did not realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So everything after I got the physiology, everything got to normal, sort of. And
yeah.
It, like, even before then, like while I was still struggling, I was attending classes. I remember I attended one self-awareness class by one of my favorite people, Stamuti Atolaguke. She's a self-confidence coach. She's a communications expert. So she had this session. Like, she came to Ilorin and she had this session with a few young people, and then we're talking, and it was such an intimate space. So I was sharing the things I struggled with and everything. And then one thing she told me, and then I always repeat this to everybody, that when you're struggling with something, when like you feel you're being tested over and over again about with something or an issue or whatever it is, that until you learn the lesson you're supposed to learn, that thing will keep happening to you.
Hmm.
So one thing I learned from that was she saying that unless you learn the lesson you're supposed to learn, it will keep happening to you. Like, mm-hmm. what you're experiencing will keep happening to you. So I was so terrified when I heard that. Like, I broke down. I started crying, because I was like, I don't think I have the strength to deal with this one more time. Because, like, apart from all the things that was happening, I was also dealing with, like, my self-esteem getting this hit. And then looking at my friends that were in university and they were progressing. I was not jealous of them, do you get? Like, I was happy for them. But I was also like, okay, Nuseba, why are you not getting this? Like, what is wrong with you that you can't get into university straight and you have to go through all this? But then, looking back, I'm sort of grateful for that experience, because it sort of shaped me, and it also opened my eyes to opportunities that I would not have realized if I was in, like, if I followed the traditional career path I wanted. And you know that thing when they say rejection is redirection. I really believe heavily on that, because I was getting no for this career path I thought I wanted, but then really I was being directed to this alternative path that would be more fulfilling, that would bring me so much joy. So
mm-hmm.
the experience, looking back, it doesn't seem so terrible, but while it was happening, it felt like the worst thing in the world for me. So all I can say is alhamdulillah, because everything really happens for a reason. I would like to believe I'm in a very good place now. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in university, I'm in 200 level physiology. I'm also in my second year in IOU studying psychology. And then I have all these amazing things that I enjoy doing, mental health advocacy, coaching young people like me. Writing, reading books, running a book club, like so many fun things that I probably would not have been able to do or start. Mm-hmm. If I had the career I wanted, because I'm sure if I'd gotten medicine straight, I'll probably be all about the books that, oh, I'm a medical student, I have to like be on top of my grades.
Do this, do that.
So I'm grateful. Looking back now, it really does not seem like it was such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then at that point, it was a terrible experience to go through. And another thing is, it made me realize just how bad the education system in the country is.
Yeah. There's
so many people that were like me, that they were given what they did not want, but they did not have like the conviction that, okay, I'm not doing this. like depending on, let's say, the kind of family you come from, people who do not come from, say, well-to-do families do not really have the option of saying, I want to write JAMB 3, 4 times, 5 times.
Yeah, I want to choose this or choose that.
Yeah, or attending an A-levels program or whatever. Like, once the university gives them something, they just take it and then they leave. They're studying what doesn't make them happy. Like, they're not serious with it. They're just doing it for the certificate purpose.
Exactly.
And that part is a very dangerous path to follow, because if you're in, let's say you want something and then you get something else, if you do not have like the self-awareness to look for alternative means of achieving or getting your purpose,
mm-hmm.
like if you do not find another way to get that, you will just live this life that the society has designed for you. So you go from whatever course you do, you lobby for some kind of job that doesn't make you happy and will probably just earn you a few bucks a month.
Yeah.
That cycle just continues until you find yourself old and then you're regretting like a couple of things. And
yeah, had I known, had I lived, had I
that. My life could have been more purposeful and all that. So that's the long and short of it. Oh, wow. I feel this is the first time I'm saying this in public. And then I'm nervous that so many people are going to hear it. Like, it was different when it was just like 3 people that knew about this.
Yeah.
And now I'm telling so many people. Okay.
I think it's very exciting. Honestly, like, I mean, I keep saying it, so like, I stan you, right? And like, you're just honestly very, very, very inspiring. And I feel like that's also going to lead me into like next couple questions that I have. So, okay, now you're in physiology and, you know, you're doing well, and there's a bit of a break because of the whole ASU thing. But
yeah,
within physiology, what, you know, like, so like, I remember when I was talking about being a biochemist, and I think for me, one of the biggest like less moments, you know, as a biochem major was when I learned about like sickle cell, or like the citric acid cycle. Like, that's my favorite metabolic process. I keep telling everyone that. But like, what within physiology made you say like, you know what, like, this really is where it's at, you know, that kind of thing. Like, what's medicine? I beg, like, you know, stay on one side, but I really am enjoying physiology and I want to continue doing this.
Okay. So, you know, how I actually see this is, when we're learning physiology, we're learning about the human body. Like, the courses, mm-hmm. we do anatomy, we do physiology courses,
yeah.
we do biochemistry courses. So I really do not see it as a disconnect. I know that it's not the same as medicine,
yeah.
But it's still about the human body. And for me, that is actually what I'd always been passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on, I've sort of carved this path that I feel I want to follow. So I'm hoping that when I'm done with my physiology degree, I would get a master's degree in public health.
Like, oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's something I really want to do. And I'm also like, there's this thing at the back of my mind that says, okay, you still want to do medicine. So this is like a solid pre-med program. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting. Like, I'm not making definite plans, but I'm just like, okay, let's see. Maybe in 2 years' time, my plans might change and I might not be interested in medicine anymore. But then there's just this thing about doctors that I really like. So let's just say, and then I really want to be a doctor and saver. But then someone told me you don't have to be a medical doctor to get a doctor.
Yeah, you have a PhD and still be a doctor and saver.
Do I really want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's really good to keep options open. I feel like one of my favorite things to do is to create like crossroads where it's like I'm in the middle and I can go in any direction and still end up feeling fulfilled, because there's so much to do like in the world. And I feel like, again, going back to the whole cycle that society has created, it's like you finish doing something and then you ask society for like, okay, what's next? Like, what are the rules? How does this work? And then you get nothing. You have to figure it out by yourself. And I feel like, just like what you said, having that conviction and putting yourself first and saying, look, it's my life. And, you know, outside of the fact that, you know, God is really in charge of everything and I have friends and family who support me, and then there's my environment, there's so many other factors that are beyond our control, I still have that power really to say, this is what I want or this is what I don't want, you know? And so I think that's very, very, very important when it comes to just really taking care of yourself. Like, what's that? What they call it again? I mean, know what it is that you want to do, because like the problems of the world never finish. Like you will want to solve people's problems, you want to save this, save that, but just find what you're good at and find what you love doing, and you'll be, you know, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so, but then this is like, yeah, it's good advice, but then it's a lot of work for many people.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. And for me, I think that's why I run the coaching service I do, that mm-hmm. that young people, because going through this experience and everything, like I was learning a lot. Like I only talked about like the dark times, but then I was also learning a lot, attending classes, signing up for programs, learning from YouTube, yeah, learning from Mindvalley, learning from Tony Robbins, like all these amazing people. Mm-hmm. So I think I was able to develop my self-awareness to a very, very key point. Mm-hmm. And then that made it easy for me to sort of navigate everything post all that happened. You get, so like when I yeah. moved forward, it was like, okay, you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, and you've got this. So
exactly, you've got this. Like you just need to tell that to ourselves every time. Like you look yourself in the mirror and you just know that you've got it. It might take a while and there might be ups and downs, but at the end of the day, you know, like you'll be fine. So you mentioned coaching and you mentioned mind conditions and you mentioned your book club, which is where I'm coming to right now, is how, you know, the whole process of you channeling your passion into something that is creating an impact for Muslim youths and for even other youths, you know, in the community, online, and being able to help people like kind of deal with this whole coronavirus lockdown thing. Tell us about, you know, these passion projects and how they're going, and like, you know, I don't know, like they're your babies, so like just talk about them.
Okay, so I like the fact that you said they're my babies. Yes, they are. So I think right now I have 5 projects. I like to call them projects because I do not want them to sort of define who I am, because who I am is who I am, and all these things that are things I do. And on some ground, they do define me, because obviously it's because I have passion about this. I'm passionate about these things that I'm doing them. So for mental health advocacy, that's my conditions. It's going fine. I think our most recent project was creating support group spaces for Muslims who were struggling during the NSAS period, and we're able to help about 80-90 people. So had like Zoom sessions and then like safe spaces on WhatsApp where people could talk and like just offload and talk about their feelings and everything. So that's for mind conditions. Mm-hmm. For book club, this is the second year the book club is running. And thanks, and it's going fantastic. Like we read amazing books that are beneficial. I feel reading is something great, but when you're not reading the right books, it's easy to just get lost. Like you can read for fun, and I encourage people to read for fun. I read for fun a lot, mm-hmm. but then also reading to learn is something really important, and that's the point of the book club. We read to learn more about the religion, to learn more about Islam, to learn more about personal development.
Yeah.
And because fun is important, we also read fiction books, but then we read Islamic fiction books, because I've realized that we do not have a lot of access to books like that. But then we have Muslim writers mm-hmm. that are writing about things from the Islamic lens that a lot of people benefit from. So the book club sort of gives access to that. So those are the 3 genres we focus on in the book club. Personal development books, Islamic fiction, and then books by scholars where you learn about the deen and everything. So, yeah.
That's really nice.
Thank you.
And then what about Young Thrive?
Okay, yeah. So Young Thrive got rebranded. Like, I signed up for this coaching program. Like, this year has just been a crazy year. It has been a year a year of learning, a year of development and everything. So
Young
started during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
but now I've rebranded it. So instead of Young Thrive, it's now One Thriving Life. So
I like that.
Thank you. So it focuses on helping individuals learn self-mastery so that they can make money doing what they love. Because who doesn't like money? But then self-mastery is really, really important, because when you know who you are and you're able to master yourself, you're able to live a life of purpose, you're able to live a life of impact, and then you're able to live a life of fun too. So, yeah.
That's great. That's really, really great. So are those three like your top three projects, and then the other two are like, are they works in progress, or is it like stuff that we already know of?
Oh, okay. So the last two is the LFJ Tribe. This is the online community for Muslims where we're fostering spiritual growth and personal growth at the same time. It's a small community at the moment, but then learning, we were able to do a lot of work during this pandemic period, a lot of personal development, a lot of spiritual development.
Yeah.
And we're hoping we can end the year with a bang. So
I'm looking forward to that.
We're talking about having this fun hangout, but you know, COVID-19 is still a problem. So we're really looking how we can navigate that, because people, what one thing people need now more than ever is connection.
Definitely.
And we're looking for a way we can sort of have that connection that people want, but in a safe environment. So I'm really optimistic that we would make the hangout work with while following the proper precautions, of course. So
yeah,
that's it. Okay. And then the last one is a writer's community, and that's mostly on Instagram. So what the platform does at the moment is just to promote Muslim writers. Yeah, but there are plans to expand into having like master classes to help new and emerging writers. Maybe even publish books for Muslim writers. Like it's still something that is open to a lot of growth.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, thank you.
So now, outside of, you know, studying hard and working hard and channeling, you know, a lot of energy, resources and everything into time, most especially into like passion projects, what do you do for fun? I mean, Grey's Anatomy is like top on that list, but like, what is it that Grey does for you? Because I know that I've had people try to convince me to watch Grey's. And the only like content that I get from it is mostly like TikToks or like tweets. And it's like, it's on my Netflix list to watch, but I just haven't watched it yet. So like, tell me about Grey's Anatomy and why you love it.
Okay, so I'll be honest and say I don't. I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know. Like, you know, obviously, I have a thing for doctors and I have a thing for medicine.
Yeah.
Then Shonda Rhimes is such an amazing storyteller that Grey's is just amazing. I really don't know. I don't know how to explain it to someone and sound like a sane human being. So I don't even bother to, but Grey's Anatomy is it. Like, it's amazing. It's something that I know until it ends, I would keep watching. Like, every time something happens in Grey's Anatomy, and they were like, oh, we're not watching this again. I'm sure Shonda is probably sitting in her room and she's like, okay, I know you guys are coming back. Actually come back. She's just an amazing storyteller. And I think another reason why it resonates so well with me is the fact that it models real life. In such an interesting way. Like, yes, there are surgeons and they're in the hospital, but like the things that happen to them and like how they deal with things, how they navigate like life challenges and everything, it really shows how human we are. And I've learned a lot of lessons from Grey's Anatomy, really. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a great show. So I'm plugging it here. Guys, watch Grey's Anatomy. I know it is 16 seasons and it is scary, but it is absolutely worth it. Okay, 7, because one season 17.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now I have a question for you about medical dramas and Grey's. Now, I know that you ship, what's their name again, from the residence?
Oh, AJ and Mina.
Exactly. So there's the residence, and I know that you're currently angry at the good doctor, and you really like Grace. So,
like, they're all medical shows. I think the only medical show I can say I really do not like is House. And many medical people will come at me for that, because I know many medical students and doctors who love House because they say, oh, it's so accurate. But the humanness part of House is not there. Like, the main character, Dr. House, is such an asshole. Like, I really don't like
shots fired.
And then because I do not like him, I find it hard to even enjoy the medical aspect of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you had these three shows on a platter right now, so The Good Doctor, The Resident, and Grey's Anatomy, which one would you, like, save, and which one would you, like, throw away, and which one are you like,
Okay, so I'm definitely saving Grey's Anatomy.
We should have known that already.
Yeah, and then for the residents can be boring, but then I really ship AJ and Mina, so I would save that too. But then Good Doctors, I am so angry at what they're doing, so I would throw it away. Like, I'm not even planning to watch the show anymore, because how can you kill such a beloved character at such an early period? I really think they were trying to mimic Grey's Anatomy, because there was nothing wrong. Like, the actor didn't have any problems with the other people. Like, it was just the line they wanted to pursue. And I'm like, if you want to do it like Grey's, like, there is a method to the madness. And then you should ask, honestly, you should ask the writers how they do it, not just come and kill someone. We're just starting to love him, and, like, he's one of the best characters on the show. Yeah. I was really pissed.
Wow.
So let's leave
it there.
I'm hoping that they would pull off some kind of miracle and he'll
show up again.
But it doesn't seem like it, because this season I heard that it's his ghost that is appearing to appearing to Claire to comfort her. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not interested.
Wow. I tried watching The Good Doctor. I watched the first episode, really, and I think it was really cool how the main doctor has, like, the, what's it called again? Like, savant, I think, like, the savant syndrome. Yeah. And he can remember things, and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool, and just, like, seeing how his brain is working. But then after, I was like, this isn't really working for me. But then The Resident is something that I know that I've stuck by. Like, that is my show, and I have to keep watching it. But we'll see what happens, and I'll let you know if I start Grey's Anatomy.
You should.
Let's see. What is next? I remember you spoke about how feeling like you're too young to do the things that you're doing was a bit of an obstacle. And I know that this, for a lot of us, like, there's imposter syndrome to, like, just plain anxiety about, like, am I ever supposed to be here, to having to really, you know, confirm within yourself that, like, I'm here and I deserve to be here and I should be doing these things. And it's not a matter of whether somebody else has done it or whether, you know, I should be the first to do it, but I know that I'm meant to be doing it, you know? So what kind of challenges did you face on that aspect, and how are you, or did you, overcome them?
Okay, that's a very good question. You know, during the week, I had a session with one of my coaches, and then I had this epiphany where I was like, wow, I did not realize this was a limiting belief. Like, at the back of my head, I knew, okay, yes, I feel young with certain things I do, but I really did not understand, or I did not see how much of an impact that was having on my actions. And after the session with one of my coaches, I realized it, and I was like, wow, you really need to sit down and think about what you do. Like, from as far back as I can remember, in most spaces, I'm usually the youngest. So if I'm going for this event where they're speaking about something, they're speaking about the girl child, or I'm going for an event with Manny or Shiraitu Man or whatever, like, I was usually the youngest there. And then because, like, the other people are, like, much older, you know, that fear of, okay, they're not going to take me seriously. They probably think I'm doing this for fun or because I don't have anything else to do. I think that sort of translated and it grew with me over the years. that even now at this point, it's still something I struggle with. And then I play small because I'm afraid of, okay, nobody's going to take me seriously because I'm young. Especially with this, with coaching, let me use coaching as an example. So I help young people, yes. Mm-hmm. But then there are also older people that sign up for my program and for my classes. And then I have this fear that, oh my God, what if they think I'm a fraud because they're older than I am?
Yeah. And then you're
thinking, okay, she doesn't have enough life experiences to be teaching this or to be coaching someone. But then one thing my coach told me is it really does not matter. Because once you know, once you've got like what it is you have, whatever gift, whatever talent you have,
yeah,
the age doesn't really matter. And many times people would not even look at the age to see if people would not look at the age if you're doing really good with, if you're good at what you're doing.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing, exactly.
So I'm actually learning, I'm learning to deal with that, and I hope that I overcome this limiting belief, because it was such an aha moment for me, because I was like, wow, like I really did not see it as a big deal, but apparently it was a big deal because it was translating into some of the things I was doing, and then either me not doing it well or me taking smaller opportunities because I felt that was what was appropriate for my age. Do you get?
Oh, wow, yeah.
So it's something I feel anyone who is doing something different will struggle with, whether you're running an institute, whether you're teaching a class online, whether you're invited to speak somewhere. Like, there will be that limiting belief that, okay, I am actually young. Is this, like, am I welcome here? Do I deserve this? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then what I would just say is, when you have the limiting belief, you can just acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, yes, I'm young, but then what does age have to do with anything?
Hmm.
And you can answer that truthfully to yourself, then I think that's a good start, because you realize that age really does not have to do a lot with anything. Let's say you're selling something and then you think people will not buy. 8 people would buy regardless of your age, and then maybe the 2 people who decide not to buy, then they're really not your customers anyway, so it's not a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's it on the limiting belief.
That's really cool. Yeah. Okay, so I have another question. What are the best resources that have helped you, like navigating school and balancing, like your passion projects and everything like that? What do you think are the best resources that have helped you?
YouTube.
YouTube is definitely the real OG.
Yeah. I think, I'm not sure. I think I like to learn. Mm-hmm. So I learn from different places, and then I just apply those lessons to dealing with the things that come up in my life and sort of achieving balance in code, because balance really does not exist. But then YouTube is like an amazing resource. I watch people like Ali Abdaal. I watch people like Tom Franklin, Matt Novella. And then there are these motivation channels in quotes.
Yeah.
Where they like have speeches from inspiring people. So I learn from all those people, and then I read a lot of books. Like, I read a lot of books. So those books help. And then I also follow some people who I find inspiring, like online, like maybe their Instagram or Twitter. And then I actually draw lessons from some of their posts and then some of the things they do. And also from conversations, like having conversations with older people. Like, conversations are so underrated, but then I love having conversations with people because you always learn something new, like always. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
That's really good. I feel like a lot of people, like, the internet is really a cesspool of so much, and really being able to find it, I mean, the thing is, once you find the right corner of the internet, oh, you're basically set. Like, you don't have to step foot in a physical classroom. As long as YouTube University is there, you're good. So I think that's really helpful. So people out there who are looking for a place to start, I think YouTube is a very, very big place to start. You mentioned reading books. And so I'm going to ask you like a couple of questions now. So the first one is, what are the top 3 books you would always recommend to anybody?
Oh my God. I
Okay, let's make it five. If that's all right. Let's make it five.
Okay, I do not like this question.
Why?
Because it's so hard. Like, I've read so many great books that recommending, like, five to people is so hard. But, okay, if really, gone to my head, I have to choose five books to recommend to people. I'll recommend Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's an amazing book. I would recommend Make Time by John Zawaski and Jake Snap. Or is it John Snap or... I mix the names up, but Make Time. It's a really amazing book. It's like a recipe book for how to deal with your time and how to deal with yourself around time and dealing with distractions. It's a really good book. So Atomic Habits, Make Time. This is so hard, like trying to think of books to recommend to people. Okay, people say The 4-Hour Work Week is a great book, but I'm not quite done with it, so I'm not sure if I can recommend that.
Okay.
Does it have to be self-help?
It could be anything, really, even fiction.
Okay then, fiction. What fiction book? Okay, books by Umm Zakiya. She's a Muslim writer, but her books are really amazing. So I would definitely recommend that to anybody.
Yeah.
So that's three. We're counting her books as just one person.
Okay.
That's three. Two more. Like, I actually have brain freeze and I can't think of any book right now. Okay, Gary V's books. If you're into, like, content creation, running an online business, it's a great book. It's not for everybody, but it's a great book. He has great books, not just one. He has great books. One more person / author. Okay, there's this book by, what's her name? I can't remember her name. I think it's her name, Rachel Hollis. I can't remember. But I think her name is Rachel Hollis, and the book was a great read. So yeah, that's five. Because I really can't think of other books right now, but these are good ones.
Okay, that's cool. That's fine. I'll let you go with those ones. Now, where would you say that you are right now with your projects and with your career? And, like, I know how, like, people have traditional careers or, like, traditional career paths that say, like, okay, you do secondary school, do university, get this job, 9 to 5, do this, do that. You know, kind of, like, very... very straightforward, very typical, very run-of-the-mill type job or, like, path. And a lot of people, I remember having, I don't know if it was a discussion, but I think I remember seeing it somewhere where people are talking about how they don't necessarily have traditional career paths. They're just making stuff and, you know, like, living a life of excellence and being able to just make an impact. So where would you, you know, how would you describe where you are right now and what are you looking forward to?
Okay, so this is... it's a deep question. So where am I right now? I'm still in school,
so
the traditional career path is still sort of, it's still in one point, like it's not moving forward because I live in Nigeria and ASU is such a terrible do we call it organization or whatever they are?
union
and then the federal government does not rate education as highly as they should.
Yeah.
And then this entire country just makes things harder for you as a Nigerian to thrive and like to grow. And they like they want the country itself wants like people to follow this culture scape that they've crafted and like everybody must go in this direction. Mm-hmm. But then the world has evolved so much and things cannot be the way they want it to be. So and I think that translates to what many people do because 5-10 years ago we didn't have jobs like social media manager, brand strategist, content creator. We really did not have careers like that. So I'm not sure, like I would not say I have this definite path that this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. What I just know and the life mantra I live by is that I just want to live a life of excellence.
And
with everything I do. and then to leave a dent in the universe. And for me, leaving a dent in the universe is just about keying into the things I'm passionate about and then using those things to make a difference in the world. And I think I'm off on a good start with mental health advocacy, with running the book club, with my coaching programs and services. So, yeah, we're off. And I'm excited for what the future would hold, because I know, when I evolve, the businesses or the things and the projects I run will also evolve with me. So I'm excited for that.
That's great. That's really great, honestly. So if there's anything that you would say as a piece of advice to people who are interested in physiology or psychology or running passion projects, or, you know, just being set on living a life of excellence, what piece of advice would you give people?
Okay. I think the advice I would give to everyone, really, regardless of what they want, is self-awareness is really important. So you should take time to find out who you are, what you want, and the kind of life you want to live, and then what sort of legacy you want to leave behind. So that's like really important. And then when you're able to get those answers, you can now translate it into whatever thing you decide to put your hands on, whether it's a conventional or the traditional career, or it's a career you craft for yourself. You can literally craft the kind of job you want for yourself. There's something they call personal monopoly. So this is something that is all you, like your experiences in life, your knowledge, your expertise, whatever it is. So you can craft the career you want and the kind of life you want to live. So self-awareness is really important. And also you really should not say, okay, maybe because what you like is not interesting enough, in quotes, or it's not what the world is used to, then you let that stop you. If, let's say, you want to be a farmer, yes, agricultural science is, like, from my experience, it's an amazing course, really, and is it hard? Will I say hard to learn? That's probably just my own experience, but I know that it's not an easy course.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a farmer, like that's something you're passionate about, you want to provide food for people or whatever it is you want to do in the agricultural sector, you will say, okay, because this is something that is not such an important career, in quotes, then you say you're not going to do it. Like, all careers are important, really. Like, what just matters is what you want. And then when you're able to find that, you're able to live like that kind of experience for yourself. So all careers are important. Like, everyone has a role to play in the world. Even the jobs that we sort of look down on, if it's something that someone wants, like if it's something you're passionate about and it's something that, okay, you feel is making a difference in the world, then it is important. Like, even careers that seem so, like, we would say we would not do career, we would not do jobs like that. Like, maybe someone cleaning houses or someone cleaning offices or whatever. Like, that is still an important job to do, really. I think the experiences I've had, they've sort of opened my eyes to see careers and, like, jobs in different ways. So there's some jobs that people look down on and they're like, oh, I can never do this career. But then someone is doing it. And if that person was not doing that career or not doing that job, you would feel the impact. All jobs and all careers are important. But what's the most important thing is for you to find out what you want, and then for you to craft a life for yourself that is full of purpose and meaning and whatever you want it to be full of. So, yeah, that's it.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And I think that just by listening to what Naseba has said, it is now evident why I truly indeed stan Naseba. So we've come to the end of this episode, and I want to say a huge thank you to Naseba. But before we go, shameless plug. What's not really shameless plug? Like, you actually need to plug yourself so people can find you on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yeah, but why
right?
do you call it shameless? Like, I was
thinking
the other day, like, it's like you should promote yourself, and if you don't promote yourself, people won't. Like, that's just
they
like
won't find you exactly.
So, where can people find me? Mm-hmm. I am Nuseiba OX on all platforms. Nuseiba, NuseiBah, then OX on Twitter and Instagram. And then I think when you come to my page or like my account, you get access to, you'll be able to see the other things and like the other accounts that I run. So yeah, just my account, Nuseiba OX, would link you to the other accounts if you're interested in the things I do. And yeah, I'm always open to having conversations with people online and making new friends. So yeah.
That's great. Okay. I will put a link to Nuseiba's Twitter and Instagram in the description box. And also probably link her other passion projects that I follow in the description box so you can easily find them. But thank you so much. And I'm very excited for this series. Like, oh my God. So thank you for listening. Yeah, that's it. Have a good rest of your day. And from me and Nuseiba, have a great rest of your day again. Bye.
Bye.